go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are, off and running on the 19th. I mean, what am I saying? 19th. Yeah, it is the 19th. Okay, I'm having clock problems. This is going to be fun. Yeah, well, here we go, off and running on the 19th day of April, 2024. I know it's not the 20th. Because, well, that's when Easter will fall next year, and the good God, fearing, upstanding, Bible believing, Christ centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Republican, Christian patriots get to celebrate Easter and Hitler's birthday on the same day. Won't that be special for them? Now, it's the 19th of April. Time to replace the batteries in the clock. The nuclear, you know, the atomic clock on the wall that's been literally a fixture since this program went on the air. I gotta say, it's been a faithful servant. But some, yeah, it's new battery time for sure, because it thinks that today is tomorrow, and it thinks that it's 3:02 a.m. At least I hope it's the batteries in the clock, and I haven't stumbled into a chronosynclastic infundibulum. It'd really suck if that was the case. I'd hate that. I'd have to go back and meet former me, and I don't know, it might be kind of fun. Hey, look who you got to finally be. No shit. Really? Yes. Oh, hi. I'm Robin. It's Friday on the front porch, and that means that here in about, a little less than an hour or so, we will go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable around which we gather each and every Friday to cuss and discuss the issues of the day or anything that we may have missed along the way. Mm-hmm. And so there's a button at the top of, well, that's true. Marijuana Day is tomorrow, Randy Redar, 420. Yeah. Get Hitler high. Where did that come from? Anyway, there's a button at the top of headon.live that will get you into the aforementioned roundtable conversation, should you be so inclined, and you are mightily welcome to join in. I think that would, and new voices are always welcome. Anyway, if you're listening now, a great way to prepare for Friday on the front porch is to join in the conversation in the Horn chat room. Just pop over to headon.live, pick out a screen name and a password, and when you go into the chat room, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers. And that would be Ralps and Squeaky and Theo. Hi, gang. And capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, Bud Trimmer Emeritus, and Zimmergist Extraordinaire Roger in Oregon, who keeps a close watch on the room and will immediately lightning zap the occasional little troll who wanders by. Thanks, Roger. At any rate, though, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So as a consequence, we say thank you to our 19th day of the month subscribers and a la carte contributors. That means thank you so very kindly to Don in British Columbia. Thank you to Darlene in Connecticut. Thank you both for being partial sponsors of the program. Thank you to Charlie over at APS Radio News. Thank you very kindly indeed for that. And so where we find ourselves as the program begins this evening in terms of keeping up with keeping the program on the air. Well, we're at $900 in the hole. So basically Friday, Thursday, Wednesday. But here's the good news. If we finish off Gino's April is Blooming challenge, that'll get us down to only $300 to go. And there's $225 remaining on that. So fingers crossed as we move further into the program. This was one of those days when I woke up thinking, well, I know what we're going to start the program with. It's going to begin the way yesterday ended. Because, of course, we were all in a state of disgust yesterday when we found that the United States had used its veto power in the UN Security Council to prevent Palestinian people from becoming recognized as a full member of the United Nations. It was a dirty bit of betrayal. Perverse bit of perfidy. And lo and behold, upon awaking this morning, I saw that our partners in peace, you know, Israel, had decided to attack Iran. Mm-hmm. Yeah. God, they're hungry for war. Kind of reminds me of that old quote from, who was it, Goering? Of course the people don't want war. The people never want war. But you have to tell them they're being attacked. And you tell them the lie, and then you tell them the lie so many times that the lie becomes the truth. It's literally the theory of the big lie. And it's absolutely disgusting. But then something happened on the way to 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Namely, the rest of the world happened, and a man from Florida, yes, it's a Florida man story, a guy traveled from Florida to New York City and set himself afire, self-immolated, in a park outside the trial for Orange Julius Geezer. Identified as Max Azzarello, who calls himself an investigative researcher, he apparently had a big handful of conspiracy theory pamphlets. And it's sort of like the way that Nitwit Nero came out of the courtroom yesterday, waving a sheaf of printouts of dodgy news stories from right-wing sewer sites, claiming that somehow he's being persecuted. Well, this guy had pamphlets that, among other things, said that the educational system is a scheme and a front for the mob? I mean, okay. As of airtime, dude is in critical condition at a hospital in New York City that has a burns unit. According to NYPD surveillance cameras, Azzarello walked to the park with a backpack on. He came into the area, pulled the pamphlets out, throwing them in the air, and then withdrew some kind of liquid. And lit himself over at Substack. Someone operating under M. Crosby. Remember, a man ain't calling himself D. Tracy wearing galoshes will come to the house and you give him the things. Never mind. M. Crosby said on Substack, I have set myself on fire outside the Trump trial. Going on to say, the U.S. government is fully involved in this totalitarian con. To illustrate its bipartisan support, I'll note that nearly every participant of the Clinton Global Initiative has ties to cryptocurrency, while two of the biggest tech VCs who participated are Trump associates Josh Kushner and Anthony Scaramucci. Woo! Martha, get a net. Yeah. So, and it, in the overflow room inside the courthouse, which is mostly just reporters, they responded with shock at the news. No, there's no word as to whether anybody actually in the courtroom knew what was going on at all. But it certainly made the day weird. But here's the thing. This is the important thing. There is now a full jury of 12 people tried and true and 6 alternates in the case. And for anybody who's wondering, the reason I thought jury selection is going to take a whole lot longer. But, well, Nitwit Nero's pettifoggers have a fool for a client. And so he insisted on using that each side had 10 peremptory challenges. And Nitwit Nero's pettifoggers blew through all 10 of those peremptory challenges. I don't know. Like a cokehead with a couple of 8 balls on a Saturday night. I guess it may be accurate here. They'd need to be like 10 8 balls, but good Lord, that would be a little over an ounce. It's about what it would probably take to keep Nitwit Nero perky. By lunch today, 7 men and 5 women had been seated on the main jury, and 5 women and 1 man were chosen as alternates. They were administered the oath. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will try the case of the people of the state of New York against Donald J. Trump in a fair and impartial manner? And to the best of your ability, render a true verdict according to the law and evidence, do you swear or affirm? To which they all said, yup. In the courtroom, Judge Merchan said, we expect the trial itself to begin on Monday. And said, please be on time. He said the jury would work through lunch on Monday and Tuesday. They would be excused at 2 p.m. on each of those days because Monday is the beginning of Passover. But y'all, it's happening. He tried to move heaven and earth, but Nitwit Nero is going to face his accusers. And now comes the fun part, as we have previously discussed. Him having to sit there day after day after day after day as his sins, his prevarications, his vulgarity, his adultery, his fornication, his lying, his cheating, his dirty dealing are laid out before the entire world to view. Well, not really. Because once again, apparently the American people, and in particular the people of the state of New York, since this is New York's case, aren't grown up enough to be able to watch this trial go down. I'm sorry, I'm still creeped out by that. The idea of the doors to the courthouse being open to the people had a significantly more narrow meaning in 1787 than they do in 2024. Don't we agree? And there are 50 states now, not 13 or 14 or 15. And, well, almost 350 million people in the United States. And we deserve to be able to watch it. Not as spectacle, not as performance art or some kind of judicial theater, but as engaged and a concerned citizenry trying to remain engaged. Instead, we have to read and watch the pronouncements of some pixel-stained wretches as they explain to the hoi polloi what's really going on. Which doesn't honestly inspire a lot of confidence. I'd really like to hear the evidence just like the jury's hearing it and judge it as such. I find it ironic that way back in 1995, 26 years ago, we were able to watch day by day the progress of the trial of a homicidal maniac, domestic abuser, and former person who ran around with a football, O.J. Simpson. But 26 years later, we cannot watch perhaps the most important criminal trial in the history of the jurisprudence of the United States of America. Am I the only one bothered by that? I guess the question is, were it viewable, would you be watching? I mean, I feel like just name-checking a few members of the Horn Family Community Congregation, I feel like Darlene would be watching. I feel almost absolutely 200% lead pipe cinch certain that Joy in Ann Arbor would be watching. I think it would be at least be running in the background for Billable Rick. Lou, I feel like Lou would be watching in PA. This is not Romper Room and me calling out all the... No, it's not. I know most of my days would be taken up watching it, especially on the days when, say, oh, Robert Pecker or Michael Cohen or Stephanie Clifford, Stormy Daniels. Is Karen McDougal going to testify? Is she on that? Alan Weisselberg. I want to do the same thing the jury's doing. I want to judge their credibility based upon their demeanor. Stephen New York says I'd definitely be listening. Matt in San Francisco says, no, ma'am, you're not alone. I wouldn't miss a second of it. So the question then arises, after this, can we maybe militate, agitate for true access of the American people to watch their court proceedings in person, at least in person by video? Because otherwise the courthouse doors are closed, in this case, to the people of New York and in the federal cases, to the entirety of the people of the United States of America. Every trial is, as it now stands. If the trial was televised, Lee in New York says, do you really want to hear Dozo the Clown snore? Also, you know that Fox would broadcast all of the jury and force a mistrial. I think we could protect against all of that. The court could have control of what the cameras look at, and who's on mic and who's not. The technology has come a long, long way. Ralph says I'd be watching. Yeah, I know. We'd probably be rolling on it coming into the program every evening if it was still going on. By the way, Lee in New York notes, Jewish holidays in the court. I was called for jury duty. The judge asked if there was a reason we could not serve. One of the people said that they could not serve because of the high holidays and then cited the wrong days. Oy vey! The judge said that the court would not be in session on those days. I hate it when a good plan goes to hell. Emilio, investigative researcher, Florida man in New York. I'm a researchatorial investigative detective and professional looker into. Well, Rama Lama. Ding dong. That's all yours, Emilio. Says, well, Robin, Donnie thought he had unlimited challenges. I've got other challenges. I have the very best challenges. Really big challenges. Nah, you got 10. And you blew through them like a kid with opening their Halloween bag after trick-or-treat. It's all mine. All the Kit Kats are mine. The M&Ms are mine. The Hershey bars are mine. The Mr. Good bars are mine. The Mounds bars are mine. You can have the Almond Joys and the Three Musketeers. The Three Musketeers always make me kind of pukey. Maybe it's not me. Randy Radar says, funny thing, one of my emails today invited me to a Thursday sale. Don't. It's Friday. You're not gonna pull that one on. Oh, no. But Lee did know it was 302 somewhere. Most assuredly is. And we were talking yesterday about the $175 million bond in the Attorney General's civil case, the disgorgement case. Thank you, Ralphs. New York Attorney General Letitia James says that the $175 million Trump fraud bond isn't properly backed and should be voided. Here's the text. The New York Attorney General's office on Friday asked a judge to effectively void a $175 million bond posted by former President Donald Trump to secure a much larger monetary damage award in his civil business fraud case. The AG's office, in a filing, said that Trump and other defendants in the case had failed to show there is enough identifiable collateral to back the bond for the judgment in Manhattan Supreme Court. The filing notes that the surety Trump used to obtain the bond, Knight Specialty Insurance Company, is a quote, a small insurer that is not authorized to write business in New York and thus not regulated by the state's insurance department, had never before written a surety bond in New York or in the prior 2 years in any other jurisdiction, and has a total policyholder surplus of just $138 million, which even for the ciphering challenged like me is less than $175 million. The filing opposes a joint motion by Trump and Knight Specialty Insurance to justify the insurer as the surety company holding the bond. Lawyers for AG Letitia James asked Judge Arthur Engoron to require Trump and other defendants to put up a replacement bond within 7 days of ruling on the issue. That's right, Randy Radar. Trump gets all the $100,000 bars. Trump trial? Matt in San Francisco says, he's already complaining the room is too cold. The blanket and wheelchair have probably already been ordered. I love it when a girl's wish comes true. I do, too. And by the way, the plaid blanket will be a beigey sort of tan color. For his ancestral, it's his ancestral tartan from Scotland. It's the tartan of Clan MacDerp. There can be only one. A little silly this evening, I guess. It is true, though. He's complaining, it's so cold in there. You know why it's so cold in there? Because when it's warm in a courtroom, people tend to snooze. Yeah. I had this queued up yesterday. Brother Deacon Asa sent it along to me. And I don't often play comedy clips from the late night shows or whatever. In this case, it being Jimmy Kimmel Live. But as Brother Deacon Asa pointed out, this isn't just some funny bit. This is Jimmy Kimmel apparently having gotten all the way under Nitwit Nero's nails and inside the empty space in his skull where nothing happens save for the spirochetes that shriek each to each. This is worthy.
Tell you, I don't know if you know about this, but I had a tumultuous morning. I had a headache. I woke up about 5 a.m. I took Advil, I took aspirin, I took everything we had, and then I went back to sleep. And usually I wake up at 7 to make everyone breakfast, but on this rare occasion, my wife was kind enough to let me remain in bed writhing in pain. And when I got out of bed at 9 a.m., I had 100 text messages. Usually I'll have maybe 4. I had 100 because it appears that I once again ruffled the feathers of our Kentucky Fried former president, who is apparently, with all that's going on, still smarting from my joke about him at the Oscars. You know, Donald Trump is in the first week of a criminal trial, the first president to be on trial for a criminal offense for paying hush money to a pornographic film star.
And by the way, file this under the ancient adage. It used to be, back in the days of print, never start a war with a man who buys ink by the barrel. Never start a war with a guy who buys bandwidth by the petabyte. Okay?
He was in court all day Monday. He was all day yesterday. Today he had a day off. And how did he spend that? Brunch with Melania? No. Maybe a catch with Barron in the yard? No, no. Santa Claus got up bright and early to post 165 venomous words about yours truly. And read it to you. It begins, stupid Jimmy Kimmel. We're off to a good start. Who still hasn't recovered from it.
This really does need to... This needs the voice. Stupid Jimmy Kimmel, who still hasn't recovered from his horrendous performance and big ratings drop. Well, it's Jimmy's shtick. We'll let him do it. By the way, Lou in PA noting, and this helping out with our obligatory Star Trek reference, from Trump's real Bible, Ferengi Rule of Acquisition 211, employees and lawyers are the rungs on the ladder of success. Never hesitate to step on them.
His horrendous performance and big ratings drop as host of the Academy Awards, especially when he showed he suffered from TDS, commonly known as Trump Derangement Syndrome, to the entire world by reading on air my truth about how bad a job he was doing that night, right before he stumbled through announcing the biggest award of all, Picture of the Year. It was a classic choke, one of the biggest ever in show business. And to top it off, he forgot to say the famous and mandatory line, and the winner is. Instead, he stammered around as he opened the envelope. Supposedly, his wife and even management begged him not to do it. Don't read his truth, Jimmy. Please don't do this, they said. He was made to look like a fool, which he is, and at the same time go down in television history as the worst host ever of the once vaunted Academy Awards. Now, my first thought is I'm impressed by his use of the word vaunted. He was even able to spell it correctly, which is really good. Very well done. But literally everything else is not just wrong, but maybe we should be worried about him wrong. Like maybe we should take the keys away from Grandpa wrong. Let's go through it again and just do a fact check line by line, starting with stupid Jimmy Kimmel. All right, that part might be true. That's debatable. That's a matter of opinion. Who still hasn't recovered from his horrendous performance and big ratings drop as host of the Academy Awards. Oh, that's weird, because I know I read in the news that the ratings went up this year. Especially when he showed he suffered from TDS, commonly known as Trump Derangement Syndrome. Now, that is false. And there's only one person who suffered from Trump Derangement Syndrome. His name is Donald Trump, okay? To the entire world, by reading on air my truth about how bad a job he was doing that night, right before he stumbled through announcing the biggest award of all, Picture of the Year. All right, two things here. Maybe three, even. Number one, I didn't present the award for Best Picture. I was the host. The host doesn't present awards. The presenters present the awards, and the person who presented the award was Al Pacino, not me. We are different people. Now, don't get me wrong. I wish I was Al Pacino. I'm just not. He's Al Pacino. I'm me. You'd think he would know that, because I'm pretty sure "say hello to my little friend" is what he said to Stormy Daniels that got him in all this trouble.
Have you heard of this brand new...
And, yeah, his little one-eyed friend, right?
I guess maybe all Italians look alike. I don't know. It was a classic choke, one of the biggest ever in show business. Again, not me. And to top it off, he forgot to say the famous and mandatory line. And the winner is not correct. That's not the mandatory line. Also, still not me. Instead, he stammered around as he opened the envelope. Again, I didn't open the envelope. I didn't even touch the envelope. I did not present the award for Best Picture. I am not Al Pacino. Maybe you dreamed this during one of your courtroom siestas? I don't know. And then he makes a leap to a completely different moment in the show when I read his dumb post and everybody laughed at him. He wrote, supposedly his wife and even management begged him not to do it. Don't read his truth, Jimmy. Please don't do this, they said. In his stories, everyone's always begging. Like, they came to me with tears in their eyes. They said, sir, please, sir, don't read Trump's post, sir. Which is not at all what happened. What happened is I saw, they showed me what he posted. I looked at it, I said, oh, I'm going to read this. My wife went, oh, no. I said, oh, yes. And that was that. That was the whole story. And by the way, keep my wife's name out of your effing mouth.
Kind of love that part because it harkens back to Will Smith. And you get the idea he was kind of sincere about that. But imagine, because the entire reason for this is because Nitwit Nero hate watches Jimmy Kimmel. I've said in the past that he is the septuagenarian, grown-up, grown-old version of Mike TV. from Willy Wonka. You know how we know that he didn't really do much presidenting? Because you don't have time to sit around and watch a bunch of TV if you're serious about, you know, being president of the United States of America. You just don't. But the things he watches, he gets almost no sleep, probably because his melatonin levels are, you know, through the floor, and he spends his day jacked out of his head on Adderall. And he gets up and he watches a little bit of Fox and Fiends, but then he goes over and hate watches My Filthy Morning Habit. And then, like the rest of the world, he turns most of that shit off through the midday. I mean, even he doesn't have time to watch Mrs. Greenspan. And then he hate watches MSNBC at night. I know this to be a fact because going back to 2017, I was in New Orleans and I was on air with Chris Hayes at All In, and we were talking about the opioid epidemic in Appalachia, particularly West Virginia. And we were talking about the fact that he had refused to make the opioid crisis a national emergency. And since I was a hillbilly, you know, from West Virginia, I'm sure Nitwit Nero assumed that I was one of his voters. But lo and behold, the next day, the opioid crisis was named a national emergency. And so really, one of the reasons he's inconvenienced by this trial is the fact that his TV viewing time has been profoundly interrupted. And he hates that. So, back to...
And then he closed it with, he was made to look like a fool, which he is, and at the same time go down in television history as the worst host ever of the once-vaunted Academy Awards. I don't know. That must be why they asked me to host the show again next year, which I wasn't... planning to do, but now I might. You know what? Maybe you can watch on the TV in the rec room at Rikers with all the guys. This man, who was our president, is on trial. He has 34 criminal charges against him. He's still mad about the Oscars. This was 5 weeks ago. My parents don't even care anymore.
I love that. And Jimmy Kimmel is delivering all of this with a smile. Good-natured, but you can tell that he really, really is sincere with some of this stuff. He's not just going for the cheap laugh. He knows he's being watched, and he's driving every nail and countersinking them all. If Stoke the Stroke actually becomes a thing, I think we're going to need to build a statue of Jimmy Kimmel somewhere. On the day of the wheelchair and the plaid blankie and the bib and the oatmeal drool down his too long red tie. Now, the people who have burned him to ash will have the patriotic right to say, I helped to do that. To be fair, Matt in San Francisco adds, Andrea Mitchell is unwatchable. If she strings together a complete sentence, it's a mistake. Oh, God, you're so right, Matt. You're just so right. Who did I see her talking to the other day? And I was just like, nope, click. Lee in New York says, Jimmy Kimmel and sad septuagenarian. I can hear him yelling, get off my ego. I mean, that line about having a catch with Barron, that was brutal. That was absolutely brutal. You ever seen the scene in, and it's a long time ago now, the scene in Howard Stern's Private Parts, the film, where he decides to go out with his wife who works with differently abled people, and Howard tries to toss frisbee, and he tosses a frisbee to one of his wife's clients, and it just bonks off of his head. Yeah, that's what Nitwit Nero having a catch with Barron would be like. And I'll leave it to your discretion which person's getting the ball bonked off their head.
The only person still talking about this joke is him. It really must have got to him. By the way, in case you missed it, let's show that one more time.
Get rid of Kimmel and perhaps replace him with another washed up but cheap ABC talent, George Slopinopoulos. He would make everybody on stage look bigger, stronger, and more glamorous. Blah, blah, blah. Make America great again. See if you can guess which former president just posted that on Truth.
Okay, because that's video and we're doing radio, I'm going to give you the play-by-play on that. At the point at which he was reading the line about George Slopinopoulos, the camera cut to Jodie Foster laughing uproariously. I'm sure it was only a coincidence. But lo and behold, Jodie Foster, Academy Award winner Jodie Foster, who, through the delusions of John Hinckley, became the impetus for his attack on old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan. Not saying that there's a link or a connection, but, well, I thought the goddess of irony had done a pretty damn good job with that little moment.
Anyone? No? Well, thank you, President Trump. Thank you for watching. I'm surprised you're still... Isn't it past your jail time?
Annette Bening clapping and cheering. Margot Robbie laughing.
What is the future?
And the entire audience just roaring.
The President of the United States took time out of his busy schedule Googling Ivanka in bikini to rant about me, but... He must not get how much I love this. It doesn't even add up. Either Feeble Knievel doesn't know that Al Pacino and I are different guys, or he didn't actually watch the Oscars he claims to have hated so much. He got everything wrong, and we know he didn't forget because, according to his top aides, he has an encyclopedic memory.
Donald Trump has an encyclopedic memory.
Stephen
That's right.
Miller.
That guy, Stephen Miller, you know, he started, it's an interesting story, he started as a Russian sex bot. The Russians built him to have sex with, but he was too ugly. And so now he's in charge of kissing Trump's beautiful ass in the most outlandish ways possible.
The most stylish president and first lady in our lifetimes are Donald Trump and Melania Trump. Donald Trump's a style icon. He changed American fashion in The Apprentice. People spent the next 10 years trying to dress like Donald Trump.
That's right. He's the male Jackie O. He remembers everything. People are trying to dress like him. They all failed. They tried. They failed. They couldn't get the ties long enough. There's so much brazen lying that goes on. These, by the way, are the ratings for the Oscars over the past 3 years. I hosted in 2023 and 24. And I don't...
19 and a half million views in 2024, 16.6 in 2022.
This is the value of Truth Social stock. Your company, that's down. And by the way, if you're just going to make stuff up, why go with something as dumb as that? Like, if I was going to make stuff up about him, I'd start telling people he wears diapers. I would explain that it's a long trial. He drinks a lot of Diet Cokes to stay awake. He's getting up there in years. And it's perfectly normal for a man of Trump's age and carriage to wear absorbent undergarments to stop the leaks. So, I mean, if I was making stuff up, that I would point out that the reason he stands like this and golfs like this and plays tennis like this is because he has a full diaper strapped around his little mushroom garden. Okay? That's what I
would. Oh, my God, mushroom garden.
If he wins, I'm going to have to move. I don't know. Goodbye, everybody. I'm out of here. Anyway, all right. I think we've had...
That was an absolutely brilliant takedown. It was funny, but it was also factual. And it highlights the fact that there's a lot to worry about. I'm not even talking about from a presidential standpoint. If you're a member of his family, and you actually care about, God, it's hard to imagine anyone loving him. Well, how do you watch that and not know that you're watching what is sadly referred to as the long goodbye? There's every reason in the world to think that that's the case. The earliest manifestations of his Klansman daddy probably started about this age. And that brings me to another point. If he were to be elected, and I know, Jeremy, I hear you. Jeremy says it's simply not going to happen. But if he were to be appointed, anyone in his administration, particularly in his cabinet, would certainly have to be brushing up on something we spent numerous evenings on this program talking about, namely presidential succession and the process for removing a president from office against his will, based on his inability to fulfill the duties of the office. There's a reason that out in maggot world, people are eager to be his vice president. Because if he survives that long, he won't make it through a 4-year term. And so whoever his vice president is going to wind up president of the United States. Now, if that doesn't give you the absolute shrieking horrors, I don't know what will. Because if you think about who's under consideration, well, you know, marginal traitor queen is. Yeah, Sporkfoot's on the list. Kristi Noem of South Dakota Stan, who talks about her Christian values, but at the same time was a rompin' with former Trump advisor. Oh, come on. Who was it? Never mind. I can't keep them all. And that was a great big not well kept secret. Nancy Mace? Huh? Yeah, Meatball Ron? Wee Wake Rosanna Dana? Just take them. I'm not trying to ruin anybody's weekend, but just take a minute and ponder putting the word president in front of any of those loons. That right there is some existential angst, y'all. Stephen, New York, noting Jimmy Kimmel, that was some glorious trolling. Yes, it was. But whoever the... And that makes it all the more... Corey Lewandowski, thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs serving as the horn ad hoc, who was the Trump advisor who was romping in bed with Christy Noem Research Department. Corey Lewandowski, thank you, Ralphs. It just gives me the full body shudders. Woo! New Yorker's standard comment about him playing catch with Barron. Lee in New York says, he's not talented enough to play outfield for the Mets. Ooh! Hey, you know, the Mets are kind of... And I'll note that a certain advocate for a certain group of, you know, tiny mythological creatures has been actually rather quiet about the New York Mets of late because they kind of started the season like a house of fire. Not that I pay attention or anything. Self-immolation. Flavio says, maybe they need to self-immolation proof the courthouse. I wasn't the only one who was thinking maybe that's a security breach because Frank Puglisi, the ex-FBI guy on MSNBC, was thinking the same thing. But it all took place in the designated protest area where there had been 50 or 60 protesters at the very beginning and it was down to like two sad little creeps in their maggot hats. Not to take issue with Frank or with you, Flavio, I imagine the NYPD or whoever's in charge out there will probably take a harder look at letting people walk around with backpacks on in front of the courthouse. Oh, dear God, no, Brother Deacon Asa. Shame on you. Go wash your mouth out with Mexican gasoline. Say hello to President Tucker Carlson. Let's don't say we didn't. That's terrifying. That's icky. That's gross. Randy Radar says, I saw the clearest description of a narcissist. Narcissists are childishly egocentric and transactional by nature. Well, it certainly fits the Orange Menace, who's on trial. And I did, in fact, mention O.J. Simpson a little bit ago. Well, he's still dead. And in fact, he passed away at 76 from prostate cancer. And just because we deal sometimes with some really stupid things on Friday on the front porch, well, this fits. After he died from prostate cancer yesterday, not that he died yesterday, but, well, a week ago yesterday, Alex Jones... It told the denizens of the bell jar condominiums at the Ripley's Believe It or Not auditorium, in other words, the people who listened to his program, that he knew why O.J. Simpson went to sing with the Bleeding Choir Eternal. As is often the case when dealing with an Alex Jones clip, we get to learn a new word. It's new because it doesn't exist. It's new because it's entirely a product of the shrieking that takes place between the ears of Alex Jones, namely turbo cancers. I'm sure he's introduced his audience to the idea of turbo cancers by way of explaining to them that if they'll just buy a few more gallons of Alex Jones's patented paleo chocolate chicken bone nutritional beverage, that they can stave off the aforementioned turbo cancers.
But first, this special message from O.J. Simpson.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. Heard something real interesting today. You know, with 99 or whatever percent of people dying or the unvaccinated from the new COVID stuff, and over 90% of hospitalizations, especially in Florida, are among the unvaccinated. A female doctor was on this morning. She made the best analogy I've heard. She said that being vaccinated is like wearing your seatbelt, that it doesn't guarantee you won't get in an accident, but if you do, you have a much better chance of surviving. Hey, get your shots. I don't like wearing masks. And as you people who aren't getting the shots, that has brought this mask thing back. I'm just saying. Take care.
Well, first of all, everything that O.J. Simpson...
Of all the people that the new 90 states of America, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe under God, didn't need to hear from about wearing masks during COVID. I'm thinking the guy that turned his wife and her friend into a Pez dispenser is probably that guy. But that's not the point here. No. Beardo the Weirdo, who is not Alex Jones, that's him we're hearing.
Now the late O.J. Simpson dies today, 76, from cancer. Everything he says there in that video, of course, is inaccurate. It wasn't the unvaccinated that were filling the hospitals. It was the vaccinated. That's the real data. It wasn't really the vaccinated or the unvaccinated forcing us to wear masks. That was government policy lunacy from Anthony Fauci, who admitted they did nothing. And then crazed lunatics who just want to tell you what to do with a mask on your face. But today, O.J. Simpson dies from a battle with cancer. And of course, you'd have...
Jesus Christ, this guy has pauses that are more pregnant than mine.
Have to assume that he took the vaccine. Now, it's very likely O.J. could have been paid. We know that the government and these health care bureaucracies were paying people to promote COVID propaganda and to promote the vaccines. That came out. Major influencers on their Instagram and TikToks came out and said, hey, I was given these offers. I just had to come on here and promote the vaccine and I'd get paid. So was O.J. Simpson paid to promote?
So just... They put up on the screen an article from some part of the internet sewer. Some woman named Marianne DeMasi. Can COVID-19 vaccines cause turbo cancers?
Note that. Did O.J. Simpson take the vaccine? Did that then lead to him getting a turbo cancer, which then killed him just a few short years later? We're all asking the same thing. But I'm sure it's just a coincidence that all these people that said, hey, get the vaccine, I'm taking the vaccine, I took my booster, and then they get cancer. I'm sure that's just a coincidence. I'm sure it's just a coincidence now that every individual that got the vaccine ends up getting COVID, many of them back in the hospital.
Yeah, that's just patently untrue. But try explaining that to someone who tunes in or Alex Jones or whoever the beardo weirdo is who's filling in for him.
Meanwhile, the unvaccinated are not getting cancer, are not getting COVID. So this isn't to mock the dead here. And the story of O.J. Simpson is obviously infamous in its own right. This is to highlight the continuation of the reality playing out that the COVID-19 vaccines are killing people, giving people turbo cancers, giving people heart disease. They knew it the entire time.
And by the way, I had to find out. Beardo the weirdo here is Owen Schroyer. Owen Schroyer is the great big whopping fuck up from InfoWars who got himself a 2-month sentence behind bars for his participation in the domestic terror attack of January 6, 2021. And complained bitterly that his conviction was improper, and even appealed it to the D.C. Circuit. And back in February of this year, got it thrown back in his face by a 3-judge panel of said circuit, who said that he had no right to appeal. That's strange. The court system of the United States almost guarantees a right to ask for an appeal. But in this particular case, we're dealing with Owen Schroyer, the beardo the weirdo. Appellant, the opinion read, does not argue that his appeal waiver was not knowing, intelligent, and voluntary, and he has not shown that the waiver is otherwise unenforceable. Consequently, this court will enforce the appeal waiver and dismiss this appeal. Because he pled guilty, waived his right to appeal. And went to the January 6th domestic terror attack. After having already had a prosecution deferred in 2019, in which he promised that he would never, ever, 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 absolutely, no, never, use loud, threatening, or abusive language on Capitol grounds, and then on January 6th brought a bullhorn with him where he began chanting, "Death to tyrants, death to tyrants." You know, the same day that people were hollering, you know, "We'll hang Mike Pence from the sour apple tree," all of that. No singing, Roxanne. Goodness gracious. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you most kindly for jumping in on Gino's April is Blooming challenge. We are now down to $200 to go on that. Again, if we can raise the $200, then we will be down to only $300 instead of $9 to go in fundraising to clear the week. There's not that much April left, really. But 10 at 20, 20 at 10, and the rest of the challenge is met. Gino will be glad. I'll be glad. And I think we'll all be glad because that means more bills get paid. Thank you, Gino. Thank you, Ralphs. 200 to go. So that's who Owen Beardo the Weirdo Schroyer is. He screwed himself in his own January 6th appeal, but somehow or another he's still pausing along. I don't know, is he a manopause? Just asking. Turbo Cancer asks Lee in New York. Turbo Cancer? I guess OJ's Ford Bronco did not have turbo because it was before COVID. Oh, I don't think it had turbo simply because of how slowly it went. As to that claim, someone was paying influencers to say things on social media. Steve in New York remarks, from those fine, trusted Pulitzer Prize-winning sources, Instagram, Facebook, and, of course, Twitter. Turbo cancer, Emilio says. Worst free tax prep service ever. Okay, Ramalama. Lee with a question. Self-immolation, are we sure it was because of the trial and not the stock price plummet? Oh, that's quality. Yeah, the graph that Jimmy Kimmel showed in that sick burn shows that Trump media was at the time 2 days ago trading at about $26 a share, down from nearly $80 a share. Jesus. So that's a loss of something like 70% of its value. Whew.
And O.J. Simpson might just be the last example that we have. Not the final, but the most recent.
That would be latest, Owen.
Seemed awfully healthy when he was shooting that video telling you to get your shot, blaming everything on the unvaccinated, like he was probably told to do. So we don't mock the dead. We don't celebrate that. But it's just more evidence that these vaccines are killing people left and right, folks, and they mandated them.
It, right, because, well, when he shot that video, the prostate cancer was probably already well at work. Funny thing about cancer. But did you notice the in his voice? He's slowly but surely picking up the vocal stylings of Alex Jones. Yeah, I thought that merited mention. Just because. We have, however, crossed into the second hour of the program. We should probably go ahead and go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. And let's see what's going on in the hive mind of the horn, shall we? If someone would be so kind as to connect, I would sincerely appreciate it. And just while we're waiting for that to happen, a couple of weeks ago we talked about the bill making its way through the Tennistan legislature. Those Solons. Having a done their utmost to protect the good people of Tennessee from chemtrails. Well, the bill has the bill's passed. The bill forbids intentional injection, release, or dispersion of chemicals into the air. Wonder what they're going to do about their coal-fried power plants. Oh, never mind. That's not being done by a jet. It doesn't explicitly mention chemtrails, which conspiracy theorists believe are poison spread by planes. Instead, it broadly prohibits affecting temperature, weather, or the intensity of the sunlight. Several witnesses who testified before the Tennessee legislature cited debunked conspiracy theories or speculated about secret government geoengineering programs. According to Scott Banbury, conservation director of the state's branch of the Sierra Club, an environmental organization, their claims were troubling, he said. By the way, this is all reporting from the BBC. I hate it when our wackadoodles actually manage to get noticed by the wider world.
the Sierra Club guy, said, as a serious environmental organization, if what was in the bill was actually going on, we'd be calling for a stop to it. It's not happening. In the debate over the Tennessee bill, lawmakers and witnesses cited a range of both reliable and debunked facts. Well, if they're debunked, they aren't facts, but I'm not going to quibble with the Beeb. About geoengineering and weather modification, and at least one witness said she believed the White House was engaged in climate experiments, but couldn't provide any proof. What's Joe Biden? The Beeb continues and says, although several lawmakers mentioned chemtrails, now, why'd you go and do that, Jeremy? There's a reason I was there. That wasn't very nice. I don't know. Oh, wait, it may have been an echo issue. Sorry, just realized. Although several lawmakers mentioned chemtrails while the bill was being discussed during Monday's session, Mr. Fritz focused on cloud seeding.
Everything that goes up must come down, and those chemicals that we knowingly and willingly inject into the atmosphere simply to control the weather or the climate are affecting our health.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe they've affected his ability to, you know, have a working brain. But there are a couple of Democrats in the Tennessee legislature, and one of them's John Ray Clemens. He's from Nash Vegas. And he offered up an amendment that protects, well, let's just, he said, this amendment would make sure that we're protecting Yetis or Sasquatch or Bigfoot from whatever this conspiracy is that we're passing in this legislation. It passed. Because that's what you get when you let the maggots run your government. I'm sure they'll get right on to fluoridation if they already haven't. Mercy. Well, let's do. I've filler-rockstered long enough. Let's bebop over to the old holler tree and see what's happening there. Hey, Roger, you around?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good deal.
I started the call just like I normally do and ended up with the echo. Jeremy diagnosed it and took care of it.
Yeah, that was me. Wasn't thinking about that.
But it's all good now.
Yay.
That's all that counts.
Absolutely.
I don't have any earth-shaking news or questions or anything like that to report. I'm just glad that the jury is seated and the court's going to get started with pre-trial argument, not arguments, but presentations and all that good crap on Monday. And if it were being broadcast, I would probably do my headphones because I'm starting to get real busy in the yard and all that kind of stuff since the weather has now shifted to make things possible to do outside instead of sitting inside and staying out of the sleet and snow and freezing weather. But I'd be listening to it just because I would love to hear the evidence. I mean, I kind of already know where I'd go on a jury because I doubt that Bragg is bringing a case that isn't provable. And I expect the evidence to thoroughly document and make it clear beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is guilty of campaign finance rule violations that carry the felony penalty and should go to jail. But if I had been called to be on the jury, I would also admit that having served on a jury, I'm well aware of listening to the evidence presented in the court. And the only data that you can use to make your decision is that which is presented in the courtroom. And I could be fair on that, but I still hope the son of a bitch swings.
I think that, and the funny thing is, if you said that after Nitwit Nero's pettifoggers had already used up their 10 peremptory challenges, they would have been stuck with you.
Yeah, well, when I was teaching, I had to go with what the homework scores and the test scores and the rest of that stuff was when I assigned the grade, no matter how much of an asshole you were in my classroom. So, you know, fair is fair. These are the rules.
Couldn't they still strike for cause, though, if he used to say something like that, in all honesty, because those are limited?
Well, I'm not a resident of New York. There's no chance of me being on a jury for him. So I can say that I think he's guilty as hell and should have been put in jail long before he ever became the candidate the first time. Because he's been a con man all his life.
Yeah, I love that line in the Jimmy Kimmel bit where he said, yeah, he was Googling photos of Ivanka in a bikini. You know, that ground him up. Because he's probably done that.
Well, oh, is there any slimy thing you can think of regarding him that he hasn't done? I mean, every time he comes out and accuses Democrats of doing something, it comes out 2, 3, 4 weeks or months later that he's projecting his own crime onto his enemies.
Yes, everything he does is either projection or confession. Uh-huh. Oh, and by the way, because I was up in time for my filthy morning habit, there she was, sweet Miss Mika, talking about how Monday opening arguments would begin in the trial. And the thing is, though, I try to stay off of that platform that used to be called Twitter. But I wanted to write, Mika, don't you realize that your darling hubby Joe, who's a lawyer, cringes every time you say opening arguments? I'm surprised he hasn't interrupted yet, but, well, he must be a most patient man. But, he was in rare form this morning, falling back into his wayward conservatism, bemoaning young people protesting the murder, the wholesale slaughter of Gaza on college campuses.
Test. Anyone hear me?
Yeah, there you are, Jeremy. I hear you.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's going to start, and they're going to have opening arguments on Monday. It's going to be kind of a slow start because, again, Passover. So I guess, what, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, they'll be done by 2? Because, well, inadvertently, I suppose, after so many media outlets have done their best to out the identities of the jurors, I guess the judge did a little bit too because, well, he promised the jurors that they'd be out by 2 for Passover. So that means there's at least one person on the jury who's not a Southern Baptist. Put it that way.
No sessions on Wednesdays because the judge has another thing he has to do on Wednesdays.
Right. And that and Wednesdays allow Nitwit Nero to go out and campaign or whatever. But again, he's going to have to sit there and listen to his sins be laid out in granular detail.
On Wednesdays, the judge is a medical judge. He brings in people with prior convictions and grants them to turn their lives around and getting help. He's a good guy.
Hmm. Well, that seems damn decent. Okay,
You can be a Republican and not be a maggot. It is possible.
Is he a Republican? Mershon?
Yeah. Not just that. He's from the same thing that Cannon's from. He's a decent person. Federal Society member. But he's a hardcore Republican.
Huh. And all this time, Nitwit Nero's been hollering about him being a wild-eyed demoncrat. Go figure.
In state court, it's Biden running the show. Jesus Christ.
Well, back in the old days, and I'm speaking in the 1950s, people could be hardcore Democrats and hardcore Republicans and actually get along quite well. There was an attorney family that lived in Eureka by the name of Mitchell. And they were, for the day, conservative Republicans. And my parents, who were very much Adlai Stevenson Democrats, thinking that Adlai Stevenson was too conservative, and the Mitchells, we got along fantastically as familial friends. Now, the kicker to that story is, if anybody's really into the history, they will discover that in the mid-1950s that the CIA lost an agent by the name of Bernard Mitchell, who defected to Russia, because after he went to work for the CIA, he found out the government was lying to us, and he decided that the Soviet government wasn't lying, and he took a little weekend jaunt to Mexico and then flew off to Russia, to where the FBI came and knocked on the door, because my father and Bernard used to play chess together, and wondering whether or not we had in our family had any connections that connected him to the Soviet Union. And yet our families were quite friendly. So historically Republicans and Democrats could get along together.
Oh, without a doubt. I've heard the stories of how my grandfather Kincaid who sold cars across the street about lunchtime, would walk across over to the barber shop and sit. It was a different time. Would sit and jaw with the Republican barber, and they'd argue good-naturedly about politics, and then turn around and go back to work. I mean, it used to be a little bit like that. It's not so much like that anymore. And I think it's a process, a function of the purity wars over on the right wing. There used to be these things called moderate Republicans, and they've gone the way of the dodo. The idea of a liberal Republican went the way of the dodo a lot earlier than even that. So, yeah, go figure. Hey, Kevin, I see you're in the room.
Yeah, I hear that there's two attorneys on the jury, two lawyers.
That's what I heard, too, and frankly, I'm kind of surprised.
I was listening to Glenn Kirshner's podcast this morning, and he had mentioned that there's two lawyers and that he thinks it's okay. He said that. He says if you poll most lawyers, they're not cool with having attorneys on the jury because, you know, when they're arguing the case in the courtroom, they know there's an attorney or two or whatever, you know, watching them and kind of critiquing, you know, looking at them and seeing, you know, how they're doing, you know, and all that. But Glenn argued that he thinks it's a good thing that attorneys are on the jury because they can pull the jurors back in if they go off course, you know, show them the judge's instructions and, you know, why they're there and what they have to do and that sort of thing. So, but I don't know if any more attorneys, I mean, that was as of press time this morning, and when he did his podcast, there was only seven jurors or eight or something like that.
Well, I don't know how trial process goes in New York, obviously. But when it comes to, like, jury instructions and such, I don't know if the court allows the jury to actually have a physical copy of the instructions.
Is it something where the, I guess, anybody, a lawyer or any juror could request, like, a copy to look at and then, like, give it back or something like that? Or I don't know.
I think it's jurisdiction by jurisdiction, but I seem to recall that back when I was practicing, courts were loath to turn a jury loose because jury instructions are a thick, generally speaking, a thick bundle.
Yeah, I can imagine, yeah.
One of the things that I do find rather interesting is that in the last week or so, his pettifoggers have asked that what are called lesser included offenses be included in the instructions. So for anyone who doesn't know, a lesser included offense, for instance, negligent homicide, manslaughter, would be a lesser included offense to the charge of murder.
Right.
And you ask for those lesser included if you're entertaining the possibility that your client is going to be found guilty.
Right.
And so you want to give the jury an out so that they can find him guilty, but have it only be a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
Because that would at least afford him some cover as opposed to a felony conviction. So they're definitely taking into account the fact that the jury may just ring him the hell up.
In New York, are you denied the right to vote after a felony conviction?
That's a Steve question.
Because I do know in California at one time, if you had ever been convicted of a felony, you lost your right to vote for a lifetime. And I'm not exactly sure when it got changed. I think sometime in the 70s, maybe the 80s, it got switched over to after you'd done your jail time and all that, it was restored. And now I believe that even if you've been convicted of a felony in California, you can still vote. And they do deliver absentee ballots to the jail, and the prisoners get to vote.
I think that's the case. I know here in West Virginia, at least back in the day, your vote, you could, after you'd served your punishment, you could petition the court for the restoration of your right to vote. You could also petition the court for the restoration of your Second Amendment rights to keep and arm bears.
Well, Stephen's not answering the question, so I guess it's just one of those that will hang out there for a while.
Yeah, I was just looking. I'm going to post something from the New York Civil Liberties Union and explains it. It seems like it's not just a yes or no. There's kind of like caveats there. If you're this, if you're that. But as a general rule, it doesn't look like it's no. So I'll post that.
Thanks, Steve. I see Christopher is in the room. Christopher, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Missed you guys.
Yeah, we missed you.
Yeah, it's a couple weeks. Just Fridays got busy. And then went to Arkansas for almost 2 more weeks.
Why?
I posted some eclipse.
The eclipse. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, I posted some pictures that we took for those 4 minutes. And you couldn't ask for a better sky, except for maybe today, Roger, in Oregon. I mean, you talk about a glorious day. You can't get better than this.
It's gorgeous right now. I should be working in the yard, but I'm sitting here.
I got Arlo a walk before hopping on, so I'm good on that front. And the yard, guess what? The yard will be there tomorrow. Unless World War III happens between now and then.
Well, if World War III happens, I'm not going to worry about the garden anyhow.
Nope.
And by the way, how is young Arlo?
Oh, he's good. He's good.
Oh, is he's he been a good boy?
He hung out with his friends. Yeah, he is a good boy. He's getting better and better day by day. He's still a jumper, still gets his puppy energy ramped up usually around the witching hour, between 10 and 11 at night. Like, what a great time. But all in all, he's a really good boy. Getting huge. I think he was 10 pounds bigger when I picked him up than when I dropped him off.
Well, you know, I left here on Sunday to go down to North Carolina. I got back Tuesday afternoon. And it was the sweetest thing in the world, Christopher. When I walked into the living room, Shadow was just hanging out on the couch with his mommy. And the minute he saw me, he just began to quiver all over. And as soon as I got to the couch, he stood up on his hind legs and put his arms on my shoulders and gave me a big hug and welcome home. I about melted.
They're amazing, aren't they?
He's a good boy. And his favorite thing in the world, first thing in the morning and right before bed, he has to come in and jump up on the bed and sit with me and get petted and talked to and treats.
And of course.
And Annette and I look at each other and it's like, we love him so much, but it's like we can't love him enough. He deserves better.
No, you deserve each other just perfectly fine.
And he's getting nicknames. He is now officially Der Käsehund.
Okay, what's that?
The cheese dog.
Oh, the cheese dog.
We get the Beggin' strips. And they make some that are, well, just like Halloween candy, fun size. They're little. And so I get a piece of American cheese and I split it in two. And I put one fun size Beggin' strip on one and one on the other and roll them up. And now he knows that when I've done that, he runs to the bedroom, sits down like a good boy, and waits for me to sit down next to him. And I feed him first the one, and he's learned to take them very gently, very much the little young gentleman that he is. And then he gets the second one, and he sits there, and he chomps them all down and gets his good boys. And then he immediately leaps off the bed to go and run and tell his mommy what he got.
Adorable. You know, during the training class that I took Arlo to, if the treats aren't working great, first of all, they say bring several types of treats. Okay. But if the treats aren't doing the trick, if you're not, you know, he's not way too distracted, the cheese, then they bring out the big guns and that's the cheese. And the cheese always works.
Yes. And I'm trying to think. Yeah, he has found one cheese he does not like. Care to guess? He's down with
What's
all.
What's that?
I said he's found one cheese that he does not like. He's down with all forms of sliced cheese. You know, American singles, the four cheese blend singles. He loves having some shredded mozzarella or cheddar jack or whatever mixed in with his kibble. But one day I made a mistake. I mean, it wasn't a mistake. He was just like, oh, what is, oh, no, yeah, you eat that? I gave him a piece of brie. And Christopher, the face he made eating, because, you know, the rind on the brie can be a little funky.
Sure.
I didn't figure that would slow him down, but it was hilarious because he got that one piece of brie in his mouth and he started doing that, nom, 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 nah, and he just spit it out on the ground. We found two things he absolutely does not like. He does not like brie, and he despises bananas.
Oh, bananas, no. I don't know if I know of any dog that likes bananas.
Oh, no, I've known a lot of dogs that like bananas.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. Or strawberries. Blueberries, yeah, I don't know about strawberries. And I just sent, that was weird. I texted Tracy the link, the Skype link. Hopefully she can get in.
Tracy's in the room. And,
oh, she made it.
Yeah, and I just
I got in.
I just got a note from Kim in New York. Voting with a felony conviction in New York, if they're not incarcerated, Kim says, convicted felons may vote in New York. A new law passed in 2021, thank you, by the way, Kim, restores the right to vote for a person convicted of a felony upon release from incarceration, regardless or if they are even on parole or have a term of post-release supervision. If a convicted felon is not incarcerated, they are eligible to register to vote.
And I was going to say, for California, you can, at the moment, you cannot get an absentee ballot in prison. But once, at first, if you were on probation, you had the right to vote. I didn't know that until a couple of years after I was on probation. And now they've extended that right as of like last year or 2022, the right if you're on parole. So if as a convicted felon in the state of California, if you're on probation and parole, you can still vote. You get the right, your right back to vote. The only time you cannot vote if you have a felony in the state of California is if you're still incarcerated. And I'm actually working with a group to get that law changed as well.
My error might have come from people that are in jail on pretrial detention.
That could be it as well. Pretrial conviction, yes.
I know of a person who spent almost a year in pretrial detention on a fatal driving under the influence. And for a variety of reasons, the trial just kept getting postponed. And I know he voted while he was in jail.
Right, because he wasn't convicted of a felony.
Yeah, that's probably where my error came.
Right. But, yeah, no. And like I said, I am working with I am a member of a group called Initiate Justice. And the woman who started the organization, her father was formerly, she actually founded the organization because of her father being in jail and getting out on parole on parole and not knowing his rights. And so they do a lot of statewide initiatives. And like right now, they are working on making it so you can vote in the state of California, even if you are incarcerated. She helped to get the law passed so her father could vote once when he was on parole. Because at one point, if you were on parole, you could not. And so they actually hold Know Your Rights seminars so people can know their rights. And hey, speaking of that organization, I'm gonna get paid my first paid gig as a panelist on an upcoming panel in June. That part. So that, you know, so things are happening slowly but surely.
Can people hear me? Is people are. Oh God, no, we're not in the wheelchair.
Yeah, you. Yeah. You're. No, we hear you. I had just. Okay. I had just stood up because. I keep looking. I've relied on this clock for over 20 years. Let's see. Almost 20 years since we started as an internet standalone. And I do my time checks with it instead of like looking down into the corner of a computer. It's just habit built over the course of decades. And I just looked at it, and it says 4:41 p.m. because something went sideways. And I thought, okay, well, I've got a whole bunch of AA batteries here. While we're talking, I'll just sit here and change the batteries and get everything back to normal. No. It runs on C's. And there is not a C battery in this entire house. So looks like I'll be headed down to the... Dollar General for C cells after the program. She sells C cells at the seashore. Stop it. We are past the halfway point of the program. We've got $200 to go on Gino's April is Blooming Challenge. Thank you, Gino. And if we meet that, we'll only be down to $300 to go to finish the week. So that would be really helpful. I've still got a lot of things to pay before the month is out. And, Ralph's got us started. And hopefully we can continue making progress and at least get that challenge met. Please don't leave challenges laying on the table. Because people like Gino and others who make them do so as an encouragement to, you know, double your money. So, thanks in advance if you do.
Hey, Tracy, congrats on the new gig. It sounds great. But now she's on mute. What a cute cartoon emoji. That's really cool. I love the hat.
Yeah.
That's really cute.
That is cute. So, anything else going on in the wider world that anybody wants to talk about? Lou pointed out.
Yeah, I just got.
Oh, go ahead, Kevin.
Go ahead.
No, you.
Yeah, I just got one of those orange Dreamsicle Frosties at Wendy's.
I was disappointed, Kevin. I imagine like running after the. What's that?
It's small, ain't it?
It's small, and I was imagining the same taste of a Flintstones pop-up when you were running down the street after the ice cream man, and that was the taste I wanted, and it missed. It definitely missed.
Did it taste like any kind of creamsicle at all?
Well, yeah, I guess it tasted more like your standard dreamsicle, but for whatever reason, my mind wanted that Flintstones pop-up, and it, you remember?
Yeah, we called them push-ups here.
Push-ups. What did I say?
Yeah, pop-ups. Push-ups.
No, push-ups.
Yeah,
pop-ups.
Push-up was more push-ups. Of an orange sherbet thing. I know when I got when I got the first one for Annette, she took a bite and went, baby aspirin.
Yeah, I was very disappointed. I was really excited when I saw that commercial, and I'm like, I'm out the door.
They're like half the size of a normal Frosty.
Well, it's that shrinkflation, right?
Yeah, I guess
can
so.
We get a what? Can we get some regulation around that shit too while we're at it when Joe wins?
What?
Shrinkflation. It's bullshit.
You mean to actually have a real hamburger that's not a slider?
Yeah, a quarter pounder that's a quarter pound, not like an eighth of a pound.
Yeah, I know. It's just smaller and smaller. Oh yeah,
it's a quarter pound pre-cooked. They're not lying. They're just not being. They're being devious. They're devious.
Well, it's still false advertising.
Remember the days.
How's it going, Jeremy? Hey, Steve. Sorry. Go ahead.
Remember the days when we could get a real gallon of ice cream?
Right.
I can still fit a gallon in a small bowl. I'm a specialist.
You know, if you pull that shit in England with a pint of beer, your ass is going to jail. Well, you might not go to jail, but you're going to get a heavy fine. Big time fine.
Well, by the way, and this is an unpaid product placement for those of you for whom it matters. While most half gallons are no longer half gallons of ice cream, Bluebell is still a half gallon, a real half gallon, and they will tell you on the tub.
Oh, man, I wish I had gotten some of that in Arkansas.
Oh,
damn
you
it.
Should have.
Damn
it,
Jim.
Get it up here.
Next time. I'll be back next year.
It's the best commercially produced ice cream in the country.
Yeah, we can't get that in Oregon. Not on the other, on the good side of the corn pone curtain.
If you want a good ice cream and have a Costco around here on the West Coast anyhow, the Humboldt Dairy brand of ice cream is a really good one. It's not the same as it used to be, but it's still good.
What's your thoughts on, what's it called? Our dairy. Why can't I remember the name?
Tillamook?
Yes.
Tillamook? Yeah.
It's pretty good. I mean, I haven't had some in a while. I'm not a huge ice cream monster. You know, I like it, but I don't go out of my way.
Well, I used to eat a lot of ice cream, but when I started this weight loss number, what, 6-8 months ago, something like that, desserts have just been off my agenda. So I haven't had any ice cream in a long time.
It was not me. I don't know who did that.
But the Humboldt brand started out as a consortium of dairy farmers in the Ferndale area of Humboldt County that because of the transportation issues up until they improved Highway 101, the dairy farmers had a hard time getting rid of all the milk they were producing. So they created a cooperative dairy, and they did butter and they did ice cream. Because those could be shipped, but the liquid milk had a hard time. And even Foremost one time came in, and Foremost Dairy used to have a brand of powdered milk called Milkman, which was whole milk as a powdered milk. And they were consuming an awful lot of milk. But as transportation got better, and places like Safeway could bring milk from factory farms from God knows where, basically put the local dairy people out of business, and the Humboldt Creamery ended up with some mismanagement. But some outfit bought up the Humboldt Creamery recipes and name, and is still making decent ice cream.
Cool.
Oh, and by the way, whoever cut loose with that belch, bring it up again and we'll vote on it.
Well, we've got a Speaker of the House that allows things to be brought to the floor.
I'm shocked. And it's like, where was this Mullah Mike? Huh? And what have you done with the other Mullah Mike? I mean, the whole, his diatribe on, this is an existential threat to Western civilization, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, it has been the whole time, asshole. Where the fuck have you been?
Well,
nothing's
see,
changed.
When we're talking about maggots, cravenness answers a lot of questions. And Mullah Moses Mike thought that he'd hit the bigs. He was finally in the show. He was going to get to go to bat. And now he knows that this is probably his final act. And so he might as well do the right thing as opposed to kissing the ring. And he knows that he's going to have Democrats to do it. In fact, the very fact that the bill got out of the Rules Committee was as a result of something rather extraordinary. Usually, Rules Committee votes are strictly party line. But way back when Craven McCarthy went through, 15 ballots?
Oh, yeah.
To try to open the 118th Congress?
I'm so old, I remember that.
Yeah, I know. Get me my bib and my oatmeal. No, one of the things that he gave away in exchange for the gavel was putting three hardcore maggots on the Rules Committee. And so if the vote on the Ukraine aid package had been a party line vote, it would have failed. But something extraordinary happened. Those three assholes voted against Ukraine aid, voted against democracy, voted in favor of Mother Russia. And every Democrat on the committee voted in favor of it, alongside a couple of the not quite as loony as the rest of them Republicans. And so it made it out of the House, or made it out of the House Rules Committee. And so there will be a vote tomorrow. And then it'll go to the Senate and it'll probably get tweaked with, but Ukraine will not be hung out to dry.
I just hope it's not a dollar late, dollar short.
I do too, and I don't think I don't think it is. They are hurting, yes.
And I also caught something today that the European Union or NATO had a meeting and are releasing a bunch more stuff to Ukraine.
That would be EU. And I know the Danish were doing something. They're going to buy some Patriot missiles or Patriot missiles and give them to Ukraine. So there is a lot of activity going on. It's like Ukraine just have to hold out a little bit more. And the F-16s are coming. They're supposedly imminent. Now, I've been hearing that for months. Supposedly, they should be in flight.
Chris, what do you mean by hold on? They're kicking Russia's ass, even though they have to call their shots now. They're killing 6,000 fucking Russians a day. Hasn't stopped.
They have been losing ground, Jeremy, a bit.
Not much. Again, listen to people who know. Not the skeptics. Listen to people like Malcolm Nance. He'll tell you how it is. He was over there. He's saying, yeah, it's a little tougher. They have made a few gains. They've lost a little. But the Russians are still taking 6,000 people a day in losses. That's insane. For a war that was supposed to last 2 weeks, we're now going on 2.5 years. We just crossed the two-year mark in April and February. Just think about, though. Over 500,000 Russians are dead for this little piece of land. We're doing okay.
Musk is still selling Starlink satellite systems to the Russians. He ought to be in jail.
He's selling on both sides, isn't he? He's playing both sides against the middle on that Starlink. Right, Steve?
And he's disabling the Ukrainian version.
Intermittently. Like at the worst times. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear to me that Elon Musk is a Russian agent, basically. As is most of the Republicans.
Well, without a doubt, and just to go back to Mullah Moses Mike, there was a little piece of news today. Another maggot has joined on with Sporkfoot in her desire to oust him. Thomas Massie of Kentucky was the first to join her. And now the demon dentist of the desert, Paul Gosar, has signed on.
You know what's going to happen? Hakeem Jeffries is going to get in.
Didn't somebody else retire or resign?
Yeah, but he's staying till the end of the term.
Oh, that's true.
All this nonsense. You know, they finally passed it. They passed it, right? I was working all day. Did they pass it? They passed all the the Ukraine aid and everything.
That's tomorrow.
Oh,
but it looks like they got the votes for. There's going to be four separate bills. The votes.
Yeah, they got the votes. And go ahead, Chris.
It's four separate ones, right? So I have not heard like what the status of each one is. It looks like Ukraine's going to pass. I don't know about the other three.
TikTok is one of them.
Oh, TikTok is one of them? Really? They're going to ban the fucking TikTok?
No, I'm looking at my birdhouse. The squirrel's got actually bent the metal on it.
Jesus.
Earlier today, Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader in the House, said that the majority of Democrats, if not all of them, will vote in favor of the Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and Gaza foreign aid legislation, almost guaranteeing its passage.
Or is it just each of the four?
No, it's a la carte. Speaking to the press, he said this.
Democrats will provide a majority of our majority as it relates to funding Israel, humanitarian assistance, Ukraine, and our allies in the Indo-Pacific. It remains to be seen what Republicans will do in terms of meeting the national security needs of the American people, but it was important for House Democrats to make sure that the national security bills are going to be considered.
And so there's also speculation that the deal that I predicted has actually taken place. If Sporkfoot brings her bill on to vacate the speaker, supported by Thomas Massey and the Demon Dentist of the Desert. By the way, a campaign consultant for the Demon Dentist of the Desert has been linked to, surprise, 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 Sergeant Carter, anti-Semitism and white nationalism. So Democrats may actually vote to save Mike Johnson's hide.
I think it's a fair deal. He's only got a couple months left. This is way too important. All four of those bills are way too important.
Yeah.
Come on. Fuck up. Imagine the hilarity that would ensue if we get Lauren Boebert as our new speaker. Come on, let it happen. Just let it happen.
Hoover to Beetlejuice.
Oh, by the way,
she can't be speaker. She's always got her mouth full. Sorry.
You know what? I wonder if a bear got at this feeder now, and I'm looking at it.
Oh wow!
Look at metals all bent back. No squirrel did that. I think a bear got out here. I had a bear in my yard here a few years ago. Because I'm looking at the other feeder, man. It's like mangled. Holy shit! I had a bear back here.
Could it be a moose?
Sorry. I don't know.
Monty Python. Monty Python reference, can't help it.
Oh yeah. I had it on video and I lost it, but it was a few years back here. I was mowing my lawn in front of my house and I went to go empty the bag in a little patch of woods on the side of my house. And I'm walking around the back of the house where my bird feeders are, an old clothesline. There's a not a yearling. I'd say he's probably 2 years old, maybe. And I was like, it was a black bear. I just kind of like, I was about 20 feet away. I was like, oh my God. I was like, okay. So I kind of like backed up slow, went back around the corner of the house and then went back in. He was busy eating. He was going to town on that thing. I had two of them. He stayed in my yard for about a half an hour and
who took down both of them. Nobody was around, luckily. There was three kids next door at the time, but they were all in school. But never saw him again after that. Anyway. You get bears down there, Robin, a lot?
Sure.
It's the state animal, black bear.
Oh, that's right. West Virginia.
And we, you don't see them a lot because they're very, very shy.
Yeah, they are normally shy.
But yeah. I've seen some of their leavings in the yard. So yeah, they're around.
Yeah.
And God knows if there's a wild persimmon tree in the woods, the bears will know where. Oh, they love persimmons.
Oh yeah.
Oh, but this is funny. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Dave and the Blind. We're now down below $200 on Gino's challenge. It'd be great if we could finish it off. We're down to $190. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Dave said, keep it going. Let's get the miracle. Let's do. Let's absolutely do. You know, an opportunity to go from $900 to $3 is pretty freaking huge.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dave. So at the end of the court proceedings today, you know how, okay, there's a little bit of background here. You know how every time Nitwit Nero says that someone said something to it, sir, like Jimmy Kimmel said, everybody's always begging him, sir, please. Well, apparently Judge Mershon is not unacquainted with some of this horse shit. And so at the end of the proceedings today, they had something called a Sandoval hearing. The purpose of a Sandoval hearing is to let the defense know exactly or as close to exactly what's going to happen if their client decides to do something really, really stupid, i.e. take the stand in his own defense. So in the Sandoval hearing today, it got heated. And every time the prosecution would say, well, we're going to ask this, pettifogger Todd Blanche would start arguing. And they objected to everything. And so when the Access Hollywood tape came up, they started whining again. Judge Mershon called it a third bite at the apple. He said, defense is literally targeting individual decisions one by one by one by one with these pre-motion letters. There comes a point where you accept my rulings. I've entertained your motions, your arguments in good faith. One of the prosecutors said that what they were doing was entirely dilatory. And one of the prosecutors, Joshua Steinglass, said, this sounds suspiciously like the half an hour we spent debating this on Monday. This is just another tactic. And another of his pettifoggers, we haven't heard so much about her, Susan Nichelles, said, of course we don't want any delay. But then she asked for a witness name from the prosecution to start the trial next week. And the prosecution said, nope, we're not going to tell you who we're calling first. Because you've done nothing but attack witnesses all week long. And Mershon said, whether you get the name or not, you're not going to delay the trial.
You should have said, I've entertained your rancid bullshit long enough, but I guess you can't say that.
Yeah. And then eventually Judge Mershon said, look, we're starting Monday. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Orange Julius Geezer, well, I won't say he leapt to his feet, but he stood up rather abruptly and peremptorily And before he could get a word out of his mouth, Judge Mershon looked at him and said, "Sir, please have a seat." He used the sir thing on him.
That's awesome.
Isn't that delightful?
Yes.
Sir, yes, please sir. Have a seat. Sir, could you please have a seat?
So wait, didn't you say that Monday was a holiday? He had tears in his eyes.
If he didn't do it without tears in his eyes, it doesn't count.
Oh, there were tears in his eyes when he said, "Sir." Monday is the beginning of Passover.
So it's a high holy day.
Yeah.
No, Passover's not a high holy day.
I had no idea that you were a Red Sea pedestrian or a member of the tribe.
No, I've been given that where I've lived and all that, the high holy days are Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah.
So how come they get Passover off?
I don't know. They probably get Hanukkah off too. That's not a high holy day.
Well, what about the spaghetti, the Flying Spaghetti Monster's birthday? Do they get off that off too?
Dude, I don't make the laws. I mean, I would be all for this flying. I would be all for the Flying Spaghetti Monster's followers to get their holidays off ramen. But
Chris, you're a few British fringes away from being Scrooge on fucking Christmas Eve with Bob Cratchit.
Huh?
I think you got so called out,
British
Chris.
Phrases away. You're a few British phrases away from being Scrooge on Christmas Eve with Bob Cratchit, asking, aren't the workhorses filled, and blah, 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 blah. No, you can't have Christmas Day off.
Well, I'll tell you this. I saw, who was it? Oh, somebody in the NCAA, college basketball coach said, absolutely, voting day must be no practice, no games, no nothing for all college students. For no college sports on that day whatsoever. So I like that. That guy's thinking. It needs to be a federal holiday. For fuck's sake.
Well, November 5th is, of course, a Tuesday, so that's going to let out any college football. But
well, college basketball will be going on.
Yeah, I was going to say November 5th, you know, the early part of the season, college basketball. So, yeah, that would, yeah, I'd like that.
Hockey, but yeah. I think
what Christopher's referring to here is not just games, but kill all the practices and all the rest of that bullshit that consume a lot of college, particularly Division I schools, athletes. Anytime they're not in an actual classroom, they're over in the gym or out on the field.
No one, especially students, should say, I would have voted, but ... Right?
Well, but and then there's all that movement to remove polling places from college campuses.
Yeah.
And then there's the movement that is attempting to deny college students from voting in the elections in their college towns that they must vote absentee from their previous address, i.e. wherever they went to high school.
Yeah, that was infamous in 2004 in Columbus, Ohio. Probably made the difference. Yeah, they want to do it again.
Well, I still think the entire nation ought to go to Oregon's.
Yeah, no shit. But sir, that's a sham. It's a sham. It's fraud. Voting by mail is a fraud. Even though I think that's the only way Nitwit Nero has voted probably, I don't know, last few elections, right?
Well, who knows?
Yeah, he's voted absentee every time.
Yeah, he's probably been doing it forever.
Yeah, but well, I'm special, guys.
You can't expect a celebrity like him to go to a common polling place and
yeah,
mingle
just
with
stand
the
in line
bars.
With the hoi polloi.
He keeps forgetting his Sharpie.
You do realize the solution to this is the post office.
Get a cowbell for that, or Rama Llama.
Absolutely. Rama Llama. Ding dong.
Rama Llama. Ding dong.
If the post office just come out and praise Trump, he'd stop screaming about voting or voting by mail. He'd say they're a wonderful thing. Use the post office more often. We know how to fix him.
That DeJoy character, God damn it, that's another thing. It's like, how the hell have we not been able to? He's like a tick. He's like the most burrowiest of burrowed ticks. That DeJoy character, God damn it.
Does he vote in Florida and New York?
Oh, Nitwit Nero? Probably. Ah. Add that to the docket.
I'm a national figure. I can vote anywhere, okay?
I'm the president. It can't be a crime if the president does it.
Why don't we go to the European plan of having election day on Saturday?
Well,
because unfortunately, Squeaky, it's in the Constitution.
Tuesday?
I know.
First Tuesday after the first Monday.
Why don't we amend that? Huh?
Yeah, right.
Why did they choose Tuesday? I mean, what was that?
Well, I guess that...
Because that's when... Go ahead.
You try, Christopher.
Well, that's because that's when Wimpy promised to pay you for his hamburger.
Okay. Yeah, that works. By the way, back to the Bears. Matt in San Francisco just said, well, that answers the question about the bear in the woods. Yeah. At least this one around here goes in my yard. I mean, it's become a zoo here. We've got the turkeys. We got the guinea fowl and the peahens. We got ducks. We got hens. We got roosters.
Any quail?
No quail. But
they have quails around here.
Well, no, these are all domestic. These are all our neighbors' critters. We don't know. But the latest addition is some, oh my goodness gracious, absolutely precious little bunnies have been showing up in the yard and munching on the grass.
Ooh, I got a bad bunny story.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with the singer. Yeah. So I had to stay with a murderer when I was in Arkansas. There was a 5-month-old puppy named Ranger. And he was a cattle dog. Oh, the cutest guy. I'll post his picture in too. What a sweetheart. He really is. But he became a little bunny murderer. We heard squeaks and then off he comes. And then he's galloping towards us with the bunny in his mouth. He killed three.
Oh no.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Well, we try to keep our in-house fur babies, kind of hate this word, but segregated, just to avoid trouble. And little Lucy Purr of late is absolutely hell-bent on meeting the big golden wolf, because she's the little golden panther. And it's like, Lucy, you know... Randy Radar, you've got enough for an arc. They're not ours, Randy. But I picked her up and I cradled her in my arms and I walked in there to where Shadow was and I said, you see him? And Shadow saw me
He was like, I want to play. I want to play.
I'm like, she doesn't want to meet you as badly as she thinks she does. And
she's got her claws too,
and those
right?
Those are X-Men razor blades at the end of her paws.
Yes.
But she, well, hi, Arlo.
Yeah. Speaking of.
But she didn't hiss at him or anything. She said, meow. That was all. Mark, behind enemy lines, said, not often mentioned, concerning college-age Americans and voting, if the Americans are unsuccessful in stopping Putin, the draft would be necessary in short order if a NATO nation becomes next, not ignoring Taiwan. Signed, Mark, not Florida man. No, you're definitely not Florida man, Mark. It's out there. But I heard something mentioned the other day, and I have no reason to doubt it. It's going to take a generation for Russia to rebound from the damage that Putin has done to their military. And in terms of budgeting, the Russian military budget is something like 1/9 of the U.S. budget. Now, maybe their rubles go a little further than our dollars because... you know, profit motive, but still. Now, going back for a second to this business of the defenestration of Mullah Moses Mike Johnson. Okay, that's funny. Irish Dave says, but the still dead Joe Lyerman couldn't vote on no Saturday. Ah, that's why it's not on Saturday. There's your answer. But going back to the defenestration, this Thomas Massey, Lulu, says that he wants, and you now bear in mind he just signed on to a motion to vacate the speaker, so they didn't make any friends this way. He wants, and said, the strategy all along has been to ask the speaker to resign in a fashion like John Boehner resigned, where John Boehner cleaned the barn and said, I'm leaving, and you've got plenty of time to replace me. So in that circumstance, we didn't end up with the speakerless house. Just like when you leave a job, you give 2 weeks' notice. We're looking for Mike's notice. This guy's a Southern Baptist minister, Massey. Those are some mean, nasty old white men. And I don't think he's going to give them the pleasure of having a 2-week break to find their next victim. If he's out, he's out. But the thinking is, you know, if the Democrats vote alongside Sporkfoot like they did last time, or not Sporkfoot, but, you know, Nancy Mace and Matt, it just gates worse. More on him in a minute. Then he's toast. But I don't think the Democrats are going to do that because they're enjoying immiserating Sporkfoot. Now, this is fascinating. Sporkfoot offered an amendment to the Ukraine package, and it's the damnedest thing. Tom Nichols brought it up over on that website that used to be known as Twitter. Sporkfoot offered the Ukraine Security Supplemental Appropriations Act, the USSAA. USSA? USSA! There's two A's there, you know. No funding, this is the language, no funding shall be made available to Ukraine unless restrictions on ethnic minorities, including Hungarians in Transcarpathia, right to use their native languages in schools are lifted. I mean, that's, to say the least, oddly specific. And Tom Nichols picked up on the account of a guy named Jay in Kyiv, who said, the amendment that Marjorie Taylor Greene just proposed to sabotage the Ukraine bill is something that is such a nuanced Russian disinfo narrative that it could have only come directly from her Russian handlers. The notion that Hungarians are being persecuted in Ukraine is insane. But it's being pushed by both Viktor Orban, who was promised a piece of Ukraine by Putin, and Russian disinfo machine. For an American to suggest this really confirms she is being handled. Transcarpathia? So Tom Nichols then said, I've been pretty hard over on dissuading people from thinking that dumb and odious people like MTG are knowing Russian assets and that they're mostly performance artists. But yes, someone on her staff or some other Republican staff had to cough up Transcarpathians.
I think that's where they manufacture the Jewish space lasers.
Well, I'm
sure that's not from Lord of the Rings or something.
I was going to say I've never met a cis Carpathian, let alone a trans one.
Give yourself a rabba lava.
Well, thank you, Christopher. You're very generous. But here's the thing. Transcarpathian, not the Transcarpathians. I'm surprised that Sporkfoot was even willing to do that, because I'm sure she thinks that's like Dracula in an 18th century ball gown, for Christ's sakes, a Transcarpathian.
I mean, you have Carpathia. That's where they invented gazpacho. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right next to Mordor.
She's not allowed in the library anymore with a mouth like that.
Right next to Mordor. The eye. The eye.
Can we prove that she's not the villain from Ghostbusters 2 on a bad day? You know, the Carpathian warlord?
Yeah. You mean Viggo?
Yes, okay. Viggo. I just took a picture. Looks just like her without makeup and a bad fucking smile on her face.
Yeah, but does he have a spork foot?
I mentioned Mordor. Now I want to sing a Zeppelin song.
I haven't seen the X-rated version of that.
It's in the darkest depths of Mordor.
I met a girl so fair. Yeah.
No, I met a Transcarpathian so fair.
Yeah, right. Okay, hold on.
A golem and the evil crept up and slipped away with her.
Did you ever get the notion, listening to that song, Kevin, that nobody in Led Zeppelin ever actually read the books?
Right? And then when the whole thing came out, you know, obviously I'm like, holy shit, you know, then you hear the song after going to see Lord of the Rings movies and you're like, holy crap, you know?
Well, but, isn't that called Misty Mountain Hop?
Misty Mountain Hop on Zeppelin 4, yeah.
And the Misty Mountains are nowhere near Mordor.
No. We deal
with the pressing issues of the day here on the Horn.
Yeah.
So you're saying Jimmy Page got an F in geography?
Middle Earth geography.
That song, you know, the song "Bring It Back." No, they mentioned the ring raids.
Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah.
The ring raids. Yeah.
They were really high.
Oh fuck! Oh, come
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Jesus.
I wore Zeppelin 2 and 4 out when I was like, you know, 18, 19.
Yeah, it just wound up. There were no grooves left. It was just a flat platter.
Or the first album. Oh, my God.
I'm trying to think just about pure. How many times I've purchased Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run album. I lost Born to Run in so many breakups. Can I have my Born to Run album? No, you go buy it again. But no, just to finish up on Transcarpathian, because this is actually a real story. It's an anglicization of a part of Ukraine that is called Zakarpattia Oblast. Oblast basically means province. And it's a part of Ukraine that borders Hungary. And Viktor Orban. Viktor. He was my boyfriend. It turns out that Ukraine in 2017 did pass an education law that makes Ukrainian the official language of study in public schools there. Only 12.1% of the Transcarpathian population is Hungarian, but Putin has been using it as part of his disinformation campaign and has, in fact, promised Viktor Orban that he can come in and ethnically cleanse it, because this entire thing is an exercise in genocide, just like Stalin perpetrated against Ukraine. Yeah. And so it seems pretty obvious that there is someone who is picking up on Russian disinformation and literally putting it into proposed legislation in the House of Representatives. At what point does it become incumbent upon somebody in national security to start looking into who's feeding Sporkfoot?
Hopefully they're doing it now and we don't know about it.
I'd like that.
That's got to be under the hush-hush.
It's so obvious right now. I mean, she's not even hiding it. And not only her, but a bunch of the other Republicans that are there on there, they're just totally all in, man. You might as well just put hammer and sickles on all of them, you know?
Yeah. And Kevin, I think she thinks she's being sneaky, but she's too stupid to know the difference.
She's too stupid to know the difference.
Yeah.
She doesn't know what Transcarpathia is. Of course, we don't either.
Well, but now we do. I explained it.
Now we do. Because we listened to this program. We know where Transcarpathia is now.
Well, and don't forget, Viktor came over here, didn't he, to give a nice talk to all the Republicans?
Christopher.
Huh? Yeah, he did his beat in 2008, whatever the fuck that was.
Get with the program, Christopher. It's Viktor.
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 I can't do it like you. I can't roll my R's like that.
No, but you have to at least do the
I
W.
I speak American.
Viktor. Because
Viktor.
Yeah. Viktor. And remember, Cloris Leachman in Young Frankenstein says, he was my boyfriend. Blooper.
Been a minute since I've seen that.
That explains the clip from Stephanie Miller where the lady screams out, he was my boyfriend!
Yeah, that's
in a weird accent. That's exactly where it came from. Okay, it makes sense now.
Yes.
I posted in the chat, the Skype chat, not the regular chat, a Britannica article, and Transcarpathia, you need to go back to 1015 to figure out when it was absorbed by Hungary. So as long as we're going back in time, like Arizona showed us how we can go back to 1864, obviously,
and a pedophile. Viktor
Orban wants to go back to 1015.
Huh. Wow.
Pretty soon we'll be back in the Dark Ages. Yep. Maybe we'll even get back to an ice age and cure this global warming.
Their goal really is to put women back in the kitchen and certain people working in the fields. That's their ultimate goal if we let them do it.
Oh, yeah. I mean... who is the lady in the kitchen after the State of the Union? I mean, you couldn't make
Katie,
that more plain.
Scary Katie Britt.
Yeah.
That's okay. I like being in the kitchen.
By the way, Christopher, you just got a note from Jessica in the Greater Rochester Co-Prosperity Sphere. God damn it, Christopher. That sound, that horrible sound. You just dredged up one of my least favorite memories of one of my feline friends. My 15-pound orange tabby terror, Elwood, was an excellent hunter, and bunnies were among his favorite targets. Squirrels, mostly, but he occasionally went for bunnies. And one afternoon, while I was tinkering with something in the garage, he came home dragging a full-grown rabbit that was almost as big as he was and attempted to bring it into the garage for the coup de grace. I intercepted him and prevented him from doing so, but the circle of life was completed outside. Oh, dear. I still shudder at the memory of that sound. I'm nearly in tears typing this. So, yeah, thanks, Chris. I love Bun Buns, too.
Sorry I ruined your Friday.
I mean, they were destructive vermin when Elwood was thinning their numbers, but I still loved them. Love, L-U-B. On a more lighthearted note, however, as you read off the list of critters in your yard and prefaced each with, "We got," my mind started pulling a Weird Al on Toby Keith's I Love This Bar. We got cowboys, we got truckers, broken-hearted fools, and suckers, et al. We got...
You do realize when your pets kill something, you bring it to you as a sign of respect.
No, it's love.
A sign of nurturing, because they think you can't hunt. They never see you hunt, so they're trying to feed you.
Oh, yeah. Socrates has eviscerated little critters on the back stoop back here. He kind of makes a... kind of makes a sushi bar of them. And it's like, look, here's the kidneys. Look, over here, these are the num-num innards.
I got to disagree with that just a little bit, because when I was doing my farm down in California, my kitty saw me sitting on the 5-gallon bucket with the .22 shooting gophers frequently, and yet they would still bring me more gophers. So I always gave them a bit of tuna fish. Every time they brought me a gopher, they got a hell of a good treat. But they saw me hunting a lot. So I think it's more respect on the side of, I'm bringing you something that I think is good. Now give me something I think is better.
You're the alpha.
Transactional.
You're the alpha.
Yeah.
And, these bunnies are full grown. And there's some feral cats out in the yard because they Lucy Purr's milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. Let's just put it that way. I looked out the window one evening, and honest to God, there was a chorus of tomcats out there. Lucy.
Come out and play.
Yeah. But of course, the counterpoint to all of that is also from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. We can't risk another frontal assault. That rabbit's dynamite. Oh, you don't know. It's just a harmless bunny. Well, it's got big, sharp, nasty teeth.
Look at the bones.
Look at the bones. Yes, yes. And this from Randy Radar, because apparently the program's gotten there. Cat Scrapple.
Cat Scrapple.
It's going to be a while before I eat Scrapple again, Randy. Thanks for
cat
that.
Cat Scrapple fever. Cat Scrapple fever.
No, I'm sorry. There's a demerit for a Ted Nugent reference there, Christopher.
Yeah, I was just saying, hey, speaking of that, when's he rolling into L.A.? So we can get Rick a ticket.
Yeah, oh, that's right, yeah. Billable needs tickets.
He is
next
touring,
time.
Actually, I think, with some other miscreants.
Well, for God's sakes, I mean, that's important. Let's stop the show and find out. TETNUGENTTOURDATES.
I think he's touring with Kid Rock and that redhead who did the Woe Is Me white person country song and then tried to say it wasn't about rich white people and poor white coal farmers, basically. Those two people he's touring with, I want to say.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jeremy.
Well, the song, I think, was Richmond, North of Virginia, or whatever it was, but it clearly was about.
So far, it's a pretty scant tour. Hamilton, Texas, Orange Grove, Texas, Ardmore, Oklahoma, Stan, York, Pennsylvania, and Ocean City, Maryland.
Sounds like a WWE tour.
Easy. It's gotten better since it's completely left.
Sounds like the Scott Baio comeback tour.
No, a WWE old timers tour or something like that. Hell, I used to play in the boys club where I grew up. They used to have wrestling right in the boys club gym. Professional wrestling.
Here's a good time. Here's a good time. The 29th of June, X White Snake, Thin Lizzy, Dead Daisies, and Ted Nugent.
Thin Lizzy.
In Waldbronn, Germany.
I'd go there to see Thin Lizzy and Whitesnake.
Sure.
Yeah, it's Thin Lizzy without
without anybody from Thin Lizzy.
Not wrong.
They're all dead, right?
Yeah, but who am I thinking of? Because God, I love that. That was one of the great rockers of the '70s.
Yes, the boys won't be back in town after all.
The boys are in the ground.
Oh, Christopher.
But for $500, you can get a meet and greet with him in Texas.
$500. Well, Jesus.
Well, you know what? I think it would be if he was willing to do it for the team. I think we should pony up the $500 for Billable Rick to go and meet him in person.
How much?
Shit. The $500 from the brief look I got at it, the $500 for the meet and greet does not get you a ticket to the concert. You got to buy the ticket to the concert separate.
Oh, Christ.
I want to nominate Chris for a second cowbell for the boys are in the ground. That was pretty vicious.
Anthony. I thought I gave him one. But yeah, there's a second one. The guy I was thinking of, yeah, Thin Lizzy, Philip Lynott.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the badass beating heart of that band.
Right. Was he the front man vocalist?
Yeah.
Okay.
What happened to Tracy?
Tracy's here.
Pat Travers ain't still around. Robin, did he pass away?
Who?
Pat Travers.
I don't know.
I mean, he's got to be way up there.
Yeah, he died. Philip Lynott died in 1986 at the age of 36.
Oh, wow.
And Thin Lizzy was just a three-piece band, and Philip Lynott played bass, but yeah, he was badass. He had booze and drug problems. Collapsed on Christmas Day 1985 at his home in Kew, England.
Oh, boy.
And his mama found him, and she didn't know that he was strung out on heroin.
That's sad.
Sad, because he was, oh, God, he was good. Yeah, amazing. If you go to YouTube and look up Thin Lizzy, you can see some videos of his live stuff, and it's just dynamic as hell.
I gotta do that. I like going on YouTube and old stuff, music.
Well, I hate to keep hammering on it, but we are 20 minutes left in the program. We've raised all of $35 this evening with a $900 fundraising hole that can go down to three if we can just come up with $190 in the next, oh dear God, 20 minutes. And there's a lot of ground to cover.
Put me in for 30.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yep.
So 160. Okay, this is weird. It cut.
You know, wasn't.
Go ahead.
As I say, he hasn't said a word. Ben. Ben's been the whole time. He's been oddly quiet. What are you doing, Ben?
I wonder if that was Ben.
It is Ben.
It's Ben. I cleared up an issue we had, and I told him he's welcome back. I told him hello, I made everyone. A mistake, and it cut him off.
Hi, Ben. Ben.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Good.
And as trial in New York, I hope he goes to jail.
Yeah,
I don't think he will. If something tells me he won't, but he may have to pay another hefty fine, and he might get home arrest.
Well, he has to be. I mean, let's not get the you know, in the history of science, there are giants like I don't know, Newton, René Descartes. There's another little known scientist, however, who had profound impact. He was Swiss, and his name was Dehorst. But regardless, people still insist on putting Descartes before Dehorst.
Oh,
I know.
Now that llama, I don't know if we can even call that llama Rama.
Oh no,
that's a shame. That's a shameful.
No, that's Hedy Lama.
So
I was going to say,
what I was saying when I did that. I'm so sorry.
I do have some local news.
Well, hold up, Ben. We don't want to get the cart before the horse. He's got to be convicted first. So
you
let's
think one of those 12 is a maggot, hardcore maggot.
Let's root for the conviction, and then we can start rooting for the incarceration.
I was going to say, what's with the long face? But
yeah, I know. Horse walks into a bar. Bartender says, "Hey, why the long face?"
And you might still get jailed.
Shoot the llama.
you might get jailed before he's convicted. Don't stop hoping. I mean,
that's true. He might get convicted on another crime before this one. That's
don't
very
don't stop the prosecution's believing.
Already asked for 30 days for what he's done already.
A lot of things can happen.
Oh my goodness! George and Coarse Gold, with a reference to something that is near and dear to my heart. Subject line: local hero. Remember what happened to the rabbit that Mac rescued? We haven't injured a rabbit. It's Trudy. Yeah. Again, thank you, Kevin, for jumping in. Thanks so much. Ralph says, come on, people, don't make me sick Kayla on you all. You don't want Kayla after you. I promise you, you don't. So there's $160 to go in 15 minutes. Fingers crossed.
Oh, shit. Did Rick go see the Allman Brothers?
What?
Look in the chat.
Oh, no.
Oh. Rick. Icky Betts dead at 80. Shit.
God, the wars he had with, in particular, Greg were epic. Well, I know somebody, I bet I know somebody who's grieving if he's heard the news.
Steve
from Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah, huge fan, right?
Yeah. And it wasn't just the Allman Brothers. He had his own gig going on, Dickie Betts and Great Southern, and they did some great stuff.
Yeah, I think he was going to join another band. Is the last I heard. Go ahead, Jeremy.
He did join the band, but he had to quit. I don't know if he told Robin this on the air, but the band he joined up with, he knew nothing about them. And then all of them but him started praising Trump and how great he was. And basically, he said, I can't hang out with you people. I can't deal with this. And walked off and quit the band and said, sorry, I just can't do it.
Aw, damn. Yeah. I've never heard Steve play. I would love to hear that sometime. Because I'm sure.
He sent me a song. It sounded great.
No, I'm sure he can tear it up. I was messaging him a couple of weeks ago, and I said, I was, for some reason or another, I was going down the road, and the Australian girl in my phone, whose name I can't say unless I want to hear from her, and I don't want her on air, she's shy. But the Australian girl in my phone decided I needed to hear the Atlanta Rhythm Section, and I'm not going to worry about it tonight. No, I'm not going to let it bother me tonight. And, you know, what I said to Steve is that if you listen to that lyric, it still tracks. The world is in an uproar, and I see no end in sight, but I'm not going to let it bother me tonight. The world, what is it? The world is one big tragedy. It's a great song. ARS was wonderful. They started out with Spooky before they were even ARS.
Oh, I love that song.
I saw them in...
My band, we did a great version of that song.
I saw them in concert in 1981. Jeez. On my college campus in Missouri.
Oh.
So, hey, you guys, I just dropped off black political royalty.
Really?
Dropped off the first black mayor of Denver, Colorado, y'all.
Oh, wow.
In charge of Jimmy Carter's 1980. His name is Mr. Wellington Webb.
How cool.
When he ran for office back in he became mayor in 91, he served 12 years. Johnny Cochran's raised money for him out here.
What's he doing in LA?
Brothers. He's here for some kind of conference. I don't know. But I'm picking him up to take him back to the airport on Sunday morning or Sunday evening.
Awesome. Did you tell him you're politically active?
Yes, I did. He was very impressed. And see, these are the kind of people that I need to know.
Yes, he is. Keep those contacts, honey.
Because he was asking how I felt about Karen Bass. And I told him, I said, I'm very happy with her, except for. And he's like, okay, there's a valid point. Now, if it winds up him saying something to Mayor Bass, fine, because like I said, I said two things: how they increased the police budget, and now we're over budget, and they increased the police budget in hopes of more recruits. And I'm like, I can imagine what would happen, because I think the starting salary for LAPD now is over $100,000 a year. And I'm like, I just wonder what life would be like if the starting salary for teachers was $100,000 a year.
And arguably, the teachers are more important.
That part. I'm tired of living in a country, in a city, in a state where the incarceration of people gets more money than the education of people to keep them from out of the preschool to prison pipeline.
Amen. And Robin, I will. I'm sorry to interrupt, Tracy. I just want to say real quick. I would argue that it's not an argument that teachers are more important than police. I think that kind of goes should be taken as read.
Isn't it? In Scandinavian countries, aren't teachers higher paid than
Finland? Finland.
Yeah.
Finland is the gold standard.
And even their carceral system, there's actually rehabilitation happening up in there.
Have you seen, and because the photos are out there, I haven't seen it in a while, but you remember Anders Breivik, Tracy?
The entirety of the black population of California is 6% of the population of the entirety of the state of California is 6% of black folks. And yet we make up almost 30%, if not more, of the carceral system.
Well, what I was going to ask you is, have you ever seen photographs? Anders Breivik, who shot up all the Nazi who murdered those children in Norway all those years ago. There are photos of his prison cell. his prison cell would cost you about $2,000 a month and to live in L.A.
Right.
It's that nice.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, thank you, Roger. That just landed. Thank you to George and Course Gold, and thank you, Jeremy. We're approaching miracle status. We have $40 to go on Gino's challenge. So the next, just like everything else on Gino's challenge, the next 40 comes in, gets doubled. And
I,
that means
I have a bit of,
and that means Monday will just be $600. So thank you.
I have a bit of news.
Go, Jeremy.
I thought you were done, sorry. I was going to say, I have a bit of news that reaches back about 20 years, but I think most people that are watching the news heard about this story. There were two young men in Vermont crossed into New Hampshire and killed two college professors. They're going to rob them and flee the country. One of them was just released on parole yesterday after a 20-year bid for killing two people.
One of them? The other one's still in?
The other one has a mandatory life, but this one supposedly was an accomplice, but they both helped kill these people after they bound and tortured them and stole the money with plans to flee the country. But he did his, oh, I'm sorry, I really regret it, wish I could take it back, I can't believe I did it, I'm a changed person, but, and I'm not going to say what this is what he did in any way, because I still say he's guilty of sin, he did somewhat better for himself. In prison, and all that time he had, he's got his master's and his bachelor's degree. So he has done something to try to change his life, but still, I think he got off easy.
Now, this happened 20 years ago?
Happened right around 2001, right before 9/11, I want to say. Or maybe right after 9/11. It was like October or November of 2001. Maybe it was a little later, but it was national news.
The reason I asked is because it sounded to me like yesterday they crossed over the border and killed two college professors, and one of them had just gotten out of jail.
No.
I'm not sure I heard what you were saying correctly. That was why I asked the question.
No, there were two kids from Vermont who crossed over the New Hampshire-Vermont border, tied and tortured these two college professors who, from New Hampshire in their own house, killed them, robbed their house, and tried to flee the country.
And one of them, and they've now completed the sentence and are getting out?
One is getting out after doing 20 years. I think he's 36 now. He was just under 18, I think. And part of the reason is Vermont's, and I even think it's national law now, you cannot try a junior with a capital offense and give them life mandatory. They have to have a chance for parole. I think the other one was an adult, so they could charge him fully. I think that's what the key in this is. But still, I mean, he helped take two lives. I mean, cut and dry.
It's nice that he's getting out, but it's almost like what happened here just recently where some kid was like 14, 15, something like that, and was sentenced to life, and it got converted to a determinate, and they finally worked it all through. And he didn't do the crime.
And I don't have to tell Tracy what color he is.
Well, as somebody who has dealt with the carceral system, and like in the state of California, that's one of the laws that, like one of the reasons why they're trying to get rid of George Gascon is because he has enforced not trying juveniles as adults. And because let's face it, at 17, 18 years old, your frontal lobe is still not forming. So your decision making is not the best. And the fact that he has improved, you know, there's no such thing as cut and dry when it comes to putting young people in jail, black, white, or indifferent, but especially black people, because we get charged harsher than anybody for less violent crimes. So if this young man has done his, you know, did his time and has also improved himself and got his master's degree and stuff. This is what second chances are about. And like you said, you know, he might have been truly sorry. People do have remorse. And yes, there are people who say, I'm sorry, you know, the only thing they're sorry, they apologize, it is apology because I'm sorry I got caught, not because of what I did. I'm just sorry I got caught. You know, that's the only reason why I'm sorry, because I fucking got caught. But if, you know, people who are truly sorry and are filled with remorse, let them go home. I mean, we still got black people in jail, even though, especially here in California, people are being released for weed, but there's still people who are in jail, you know, right on a dime pad, 20, 30 years of their lives for, you know, for cocaine. There's still people in jail for like a year or two, or even longer, who haven't even been convicted of a crime. It's only because they can't afford cash bail. So again, I have an entirely different perspective of the criminal injustice system because I've lived that. So it's like, that's just my take on it. But on a happy, okay, Robin, how come you did not tell me that, because if I hadn't, because we were talking, Bernadette and I were talking about, you know, sell out black folks, and, you know, and talk about Candace Owens and stuff like that, because, of course, she's my favorite.
Your boy Jesse Lee.
And Jesse Lee.
And the lieutenant governor of North Carolina, right?
Right.
What's his name again?
So, Mark Robinson.
Yes, thank you.
And so, and I said, and let's not forget our girls, you know, Cupid Sarconia and Rayon. I think I called her Burback. And she's like, girl, now you're dead. I said, what, bitch?
Oh yeah, I forget if it was paste or polyester, but one of them is singing in the Bleeding Choir Eternal.
That's right. Diamond.
It's Diamond.
Bleed on, Crazy Diamond. Yeah.
And so, of course, when I looked it up, so her on January 8th, 2023, Hardaway died. She did. Speaking of Jessalyn, she did. So she okay. Died at her home in North Carolina. Her death was announced by Trump on Truth Social. She was hospitalized with an unspecified illness in November 2022 before briefly returning to their Newsmax show in December, where she said that the illness was not COVID. Richardson took to Twitter afterwards to condemn public figures who were suggesting Hardaway died from COVID and threatened to sue if they did not retract their statements. Following Hardaway's death, Richardson and other right-wing pundits began...
Wait. How is it you've moved into your BET voice?
Yes, I noticed that he slipped right in there.
Isn't it fucking frightening how easily I could do that? Go from like Valley Girl to this? So Richardson and other right-wing pundits began promoting conspiracy theories and alleging that Hardaway was either murdered or fell victim to vaccine shedding. Possibly as part
Well, I mean, you heard earlier in the program, I presume, Tracy, about the turbo cancer that took down the juice.
That's why do you think I'm reading this? Victim to vaccine shedding, possibly as part of a depopulation agenda. So y'all have the replacement theory, and we have the depopulation agenda for black folks, right? She later claimed her sister died as a result of a bioweapon being sprayed into the air.
Which explains the Tennessee law against chemtrails.
Right! Bioweapon being spread into the air. However, a death certificate obtained by the Associated Press, because, you know, that's fake news, y'all, states that she died from heart disease linked to chronic high blood pressure. In other words, the bitch just kept eating. Richardson said that the show would continue and would keep the same name because her sister was still here in spirit. She told friends that Diamond cannot be replaced and should not send in audition tapes or suggestions for a new co-host. She compared her sister to Colonel Sanders, saying that KFC continued operating under the same name after his death, and so would the show.
So you're going to try out, Tracy? Sounds like you're auditioning almost.
Nah, I'm good. Again, I will say, even with all of my self-loathing and self-hatred, never I wanted to be anything but a black, and I wanted to be a blonde hair, blue eyed white girl, but never, never, ever, ever, ever did I ever consider becoming a Republican. It did not go that
way. But if you go right wing, the pay is immense.
It is immense, but again,
they will enrich complete morons. Witness paste and polyester.
Right.
Well, Tracy, if you were only born a rich white blue eyed girl, you too could have been spokesperson for pussy stones.
Well, no, you would have been Kali Maganini.
Right. I would have been. What's the bitch that said Santa Claus is white? Yeah.
Oh, Megyn Kelly. Yeah.
Megyn Kelly. Mm-hmm. Well, because of course this is on Wikipedia, but when I read that shit, I read the thing to Bernadette, y'all. She Bernadette said, "Thank you, sis. I needed this because she was having a bad day." And she's like, "This is what I didn't even know I needed this until you read this."
But, thank you for reminding me. I need to get some more of her balm. The Trees Breeze. I need to order some of that.
She's not doing that anymore, I don't think.
Oh, why? Because
because last time we talked about it, because I still got my supply. I'm hoarding it. But one of the things she's saying is she just got to get the material. You know, she says she got to get back on it. So, but there's other things that are more important right now.
Yeah, and speaking of which, it's been it's been since God was a baby since we heard from John Bredivo. I hope he's okay.
Yes.
So for those of y'all that don't know, because I have to look up what vaccine shedding is, hell is vaccine shedding. And not shedding, but shedding, because you got to say.
No,
shed.
I understand. Yeah.
Shed. Okay. That's in the medical literature, right? Shedding.
Right.
Beans don't burn on the grill. Yeah, I know.
So vaccine shedding is a form of viral shedding, which can occasionally occur following a viral infection caused by an attenuated or live virus vaccine. Illness and other resulting from transmission through this type of viral shedding.
You said trans.
It's a trans. Most vaccines are not attenuated live virus vaccines that therefore cannot cause vaccine-induced viral shedding. So the idea of shedding is a popular anti-vaccination myth. Mm-hmm. But that's how, you know, that.
I'm going to give you one of those. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That part, y'all, that part. Y'all.
So who's going to be the next diamond then? And all that.
There's not going to be another diamond.
She's going to be there in spirit. And by the way, Matt in San Francisco says, I want explanations. Why was Silk licking Diamond's fingers?
Ooh.
Ramalama. Ding dong.
Ding dong.
All right, y'all. I got to get out of here. I had a late breaking offer to finish off Gino's April is Blooming challenge. Our kind anonymous internet friend said, "I'll give $50 if you can raise $50." So as the program goes off the air, there's a $50 challenge on top of the remaining $40 challenge. If the $50 challenge gets met, the $40 remaining on Gino's challenge gets finished. We wind up at $300 remaining for today, and then $300 on Monday. And of that $300, that becomes $240. So we're at $540 for Monday. If somebody wants to knock down $50, and so we'll have to wait until after the program's closed to find out if anybody wants to take our kind anonymous internet friend up on that challenge upon a challenge. Thanks, everybody. Thank you so much. Great conversation this evening. Stay out of Transcarpathia. That's all I can tell you. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers, our contributors via the U.S. Postal Service. A little reminder, if you'd like to help out with the political campaign, it's entirely separate from support of the program, but over at headon.live, there is a separate tab called Campaign, and there's a PayPal button there. And thanks to everybody, I think three or four people have jumped in there. It's really helpful. Well, we're less than a month away from the primary. I'm going to spend the weekend getting the signs that I have out and around and about. But thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers, our a la carte contributors, our challenge makers, our challenge respondents. Thank you all so much for helping to keep this program going for lo these many years. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Roger and Jeremy in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thanks for that Jimmy Kimmel clip. I wanted to get to it yesterday, but I'm glad we got to it today because that was epic. Please like and subscribe to the podcast. Like each episode, subscribe on a couple of different platforms because sometimes they fail to pick stuff up. Leave a comment here and there. It really does help. And we all appreciate it. It helps. It makes the program more visible to the algorithms. The algorithms live in the dark, you know. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Come June 1, Ben Birch is shuttering WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if there's anything there that you want to download, do it between now and June the 1st. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 25 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Watch for your next booster. Stay on track. No, it didn't kill OJ. Wear your mask if you're around the maggots because they're prone to spread disease. Kind of proud of it, really. You know, vaccine shedding and all of that. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you, pocket or purse. Use it frequently. Maintain your social distance as best you can. And, well, if Sporkfoot, by the way, Sporkfoot, George in Coarse Gold, Sporkfoot refers to the fact that Marge apparently has some really gross, weird feet. And they kind of look like a spork. You know, like you get at Kentucky Fried Chicken. I don't know why we had the KFC references this evening, but that's what Sporkfoot means. But if Sporkfoot comes toward you babbling something about the Transcarpathians, well, avoid her like the plague. Because she is. And always, 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 Wayne and Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.